Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world. Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. As always, I've got so much packed into a program today, maybe even more than ever. Buckle your seatbelt. We're going to go through this really quickly today. I've got so much to cover. I'm going to cover some matters dealing with the recent primary, the coronavirus, the military's possibility of drafting women. I have a correction and maybe, well, a couple of corrections dealing with our Muslim and Hindu story that I did last week. In India, that coming later in the program. There's just so much to share, so let's get rolling. I do want to let you know, though, that you can pick up this program a couple of different ways, because I'm going to go fast today, and you may want to hear some of this again, but you can get it by way of a podcast, and that way you can download it from darkskyradio.com, darkskyradio.com, and click on the Red Sky Radio link. And you'll be able to get a podcast that you can download along with the podcast from our new program, Real Men Radio, if you so desire. And I encourage you to do that. You can also go to redskyradio.net, redskyradio.net, and you can't download it, but you can hear it from that web page. It will be on the front of the web page. And if you need to contact me, want to contact me with any criticism, comments, suggestions, you name it, info@redskyradio.net, info@redskyradio.net. All set? Buckled up. Here we go. I'm going to fly through a bunch of stuff, good news and everything else. West Virginia, the state, his governor has signed a law requiring doctors to help babies born alive after abortion. Now, this cannot be challenged realistically in court, because why? You're not interfering with the so-called manufactured and right to abortion, the contrived right. No, because the child is already born. It's not an abortion after the child is born to kill it. It's just, it's visible murder as opposed to less visible murder inside the womb. And it should stand. God bless the state of West Virginia. And you know what? If the Hollywood yin-yangs don't want to ever come to West Virginia should consider it a blessing. If the Californicators do not want to come and support any sort of governmental travel to West Virginia, which is what they always do, just West Virginians, take heart. Be blessed. You do not want those people visiting your community. Okay, next news. Oklahoma is one step closer to putting "In God We Trust" on over 300 state buildings. I mean, you know, if you go back a couple of programs, maybe it was, no, it was 2 weeks ago, I said there are two states that really particularly lead this country and be the most likely ones to secede and leave the union based upon their political feeling, their political inclinations, definitely their faith disposition, their love for Christianity. It would be Oklahoma and Tennessee. And I lauded Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, as well as Oklahoma. Here's another reason why the Oklahomans just do things right. In God We Trust. Forget you, ACLU. We're going to put this up on over 300 state buildings. And once it's up, it's going to be a long, long time before they get taken down. So they're just going to go do it and do it. Arizona, God bless the state of Arizona. This is, in my opinion, the only good state left in the American Southwest. They passed a bill, the Arizona House, waiting for the Senate now, banning these tranny athletes, these men who now claim they're chicks, from competing in girls' sports. This is so obvious. This is so basic. I don't know why anybody should have a problem. Now, it didn't pass easily in Arizona. It would never pass in California. California wouldn't pass in New Mexico, wouldn't pass in Colorado these days. But still in Arizona, it passed that. No, these fake women, these trannies who are really just homosexuals trying to flip their sex so they feel better about their queer attraction. And that's all that it is. It's really very simple. You think you're the other sex, but you think you're the other sex because if you then become in your mind supposedly the other sex, you then legitimately can desire your own true sex. It's an attempt at a moral cover by homosexuals. Moving along. More good news. Donald Trump Jr. I like this guy. I really like this guy. Besides being just kind of a good-looking guy, he's not caught up in all the Hollywood crapola. As I had a law professor who used to call the nonsense and the stuff that people would do just to be well-liked, he called it happy crap. And this was in a Christian law school, but I mean, you know, that's the word he used, happy crap. The stuff that people come out to try to just feel good about themselves, make other people feel good about themselves, even though the stuff that they were spouting was malicious and frankly from the pit of hell. Not Donald Trump Jr. He doesn't hold back. I like this guy. I really like him. But he said, we're going to hold to, quote this, we're going to hold, and I encourage you, Americans, to hold to your Second Amendment rights, catch this, the end of the sentence, at all costs. At all costs, meaning you got somebody who wants to basically take your guns, you get your gun out to defend your right to keep your gun. That's included at all costs. I've told you, we're headed towards civil war. I don't want it. I really don't. But if we're going to have it, let's bring it on. Let's have it earlier when we've got more people on our side. We got more guns. We got ammo. We could win the war. I don't want to fight a war that you can't win. And I don't want this. I really don't. But if it's going to happen, it needs to happen earlier while more people have arms. But go, Donald. Maybe you're the successor to your dad that we need. And then last in the good news, no, not quite last in the good news department, the Missouri legislature has introduced a bill banning these tranny athletes from competing against athletes of opposite biological sex. You see, you got to get to the Midwest and the South before you can reach common sense anymore. Because the left are just a pack of reprobates. The left coast, the East Coast, particularly New England, are a pack of reprobates. And you got to get it to the interior before you can find any brains, before you can find any morals, before you can find any cojones anymore. It's just really that bad, that serious. And one last good news story before we get on to the rest of life. There's this big uproar, but this is pretty cool, in Paris this last week, because Kanye West, who probably people listening in other countries to this program, you may know him better than I know him. I don't follow this. You know, he's a big-time rapper, very popular, very wealthy, married to Kim Kardashian. Maybe that's the connection here. So he goes to Paris to do one of his gospel performances. And the place, I can't pronounce it in the French, but the place where he wants to perform, it's booked. And it's booked by some tranny guy who sold out 100 tickets to give some perverted performance, which apparently there are people in France, just like the U.S., that dig that kind of garbage. But when Kanye West comes along, the venue tosses out the tranny and says, yeah, Kanye, you can have the venue. And told the other guy, the tranny guy, whatever they are, who knows, they're screwed up. They need the gospel. They need deliverance. And if none of that works, well, I won't go there. Anyway, He gets the venue. And it's a big crowd. It's much more profitable for the venue owner to have Kanye than this tranny guy. And then Kim Kardashian and his wife shows up in this latex outfit. I couldn't care less, honestly, but she's in this latex, you know, head to toe, skin tight thing, you know, where it's sort of, well, whatever, you kind of get the idea. So here's the takeaway. I've got two takeaways from this thing. Number one, that, well, three, let me make it three. The money will win out. To those who know not Jesus Christ, money will win out. If you got a gospel production, you're going to come with more money than somebody without a gospel production. You're going to get the facility. Unfortunately, Billy Grant or Franklin Graham, who's struggling to get a venue in England and can't because everybody's shutting him out because he holds to a biblical view on queerdom, he can't get a venue. But he's not offering more money, I don't think. Kanye West came in, he's a better attraction. Number two, when it gets down to those people who are searching, more people are searching for the gospel than they are searching for some tranny solution to their screwed up sexual lives. Number two. Number three, this may be the biggest takeaway of all. You can expect Kim Kardashian now, who's always riding the crest of the fashion wave, I guess, to come out with a new line of clothing. And it's going to be some variation of spray-on latex. The spray-on latex line, especially designed for pastors' wives. Well, won't that be something? Okay, getting a little bit more serious here. You know the BDS movement? The BDS movement stands for Boycott, Divestiture, and Sanction. It's what Jew haters come out to say, look, you boycott Jewish products, you don't invest in Jewish companies, and you punish them by sanctioning them in all the ways by which you could sanction a foreign country. It's what the Democrats do. It's what the Muslims, the ultimate Jew haters, who are the only, in fact, the only Jew haters in Congress are all Democrats in the U.S., Ilhan Omar Shmomar and Rashida Tlaib, whatever, who cares what how you pronounce her name. These are the Jew haters. The Muslims that are in the U.S. Congress are the only Jew haters in Congress, along with some others that don't have any guts now to take a position for Israel, so they go along with the Jew haters. So the Jew haters, which are also very, very prevalent on U.S. campuses, it's increasingly dangerous to be a conservative, outspoken Christian and a conservative Jew on a college campus in the United States. Because you run up against this boycott, divestiture, and sanction movement where anything that Israel does, touches, was, is, or will be is persona non grata. It's tainted. It's polluted. It's dirty. Don't go there. The BDS movement. Well, I want to point out here this article by Ryan Saavedra. I don't know. It sounds like that might be by Indian. Saavedra. I think he might be. God bless him. He's a great writer. He says, BDS this, you Muslims. And what is it about? Israel makes a breakthrough in the race for a coronavirus vaccine. So all of those who hate Jews, all of the Muslims around the country who can't stand the Jews and can't stand Christians, and the Muslims and other Jew haters in the U.S. Congress on college campuses, I want to tell you guys, if you want to really enjoy and embrace the BDS movement, I want you leftist lemmings to boycott and not ever take a vaccine for coronavirus. Why? Because it's coming from Israel. You better not touch it, or else you're just one big pack of hypocrites, and you better not touch any of the other Jewish inventions that are out there. In fact, if you get polio, forget it, because it was a Jew that introduced the first polio vaccine. It was a Jew who discovered insulin. It was Jews who discovered that aspirin could relieve head pain. It was Jews that discovered the origin and the spread of infectious diseases. It was a Jew who identified the very first cancer virus. And do we need to go down the line of all the things that they have invented? From the teddy bear and the Barbie doll all the way through to the Uzi submachine gun, that guess what? You know what? Most of the Muslim countries use ripoffs of Jewish inventions. But you claim, you morons. I'll tell you what, I don't want any of you people who are engaged in the BDS movement and who push it, which includes the Presbyterian Church USA, pack of suckers, the Episcopal Church, which is increasingly, it wants to embrace the BDS movement. I don't want any of you guys to take the coronavirus vaccine. I don't want you to take polio vaccine. I want you to go off insulin and just die of your diabetes. You do all those things unless you just want to openly admit you're a pack of hypocrites. I could fill up the rest of this program with that which the Jews and the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, have invented or significantly contributed to, whether it deals with mathematics, science, chemistry, physics, optics. The Jews invented the world's smallest camera. Medicine, economics, biotechnology, theoretical computer science, computer hardware, defense. My gosh, it just goes on and on. Look, I could fill up the rest of the program talking about their inventions. And I got to tell you, I'm not trying to make fun of the Muslims. But I want to tell you, Islam, if I wanted to talk about what Islam has produced, I could cover it in the time of a station break. Sorry, Barack Hussein Obama, you're absolutely wrong. You're always talking about the historic contributions of Islam. What? How to behead people quicker than you used to be able to behead people? How to drive trucks into crowded masses of people? How to fly planes into towers? Is that what you've invented? Obama, what a piece of whatever. Okay, I got to keep moving here. Man, I still got a long ways to go. We're just launching in here. Now, I mentioned the women in the draft. The U.S. Supreme Court is considering whether a male-only draft is constitutional. Now, if you were a true feminist, you would be suing to be able to be drafted, right? No, I don't see women behind this. Now, this is where the men sort of have to take up the defense. Hey, it's unequal protection. We're entitled to equal protection under the laws, and you're preferring men to get killed, U.S. government, than women to get killed. That's an unequal protection under the law. A very easy, no-brainer argument. The Supreme Court should rule on this 9-0. If you're going to draft men under the equal protection laws, the way it's been interpreted, you got to draft women. Now, am I for that? No, I absolutely am not for it. But if this is the way that it's going to go, this is going to, well, I mean, if fair is fair, I guess that's the way it ought to be, even though I don't want my granddaughters being drafted. Under no circumstance. But this is what the left has gotten through their stupidity, their hypocrisy, demon possession. Hey, but here, I got a follow-up here, a little bit of a doozy, if you will. If it is deemed constitutional to continue to draft only men, does that mean that women who now contend that they are trannies get drafted? Does it mean that men who want to be trannies and now are the she-males, they become women? Is this how they get out of the draft? Do they no longer have to go to Canada? They just got to have some fake sex change or a claimed sex change or some contrived thing or go through some medical expense to say that now they're a woman, they can't get drafted? Do you see, in confusion, as it says in the Bible, is every evil work. And who's the author of confusion? And it makes it very clear. It's Satan himself. He takes pride in causing confusion. That's not the end of this story, though. I mean, as ridiculous as this is, I want to tell you, I want to look to the Bible. What does this Bible say about women in battle? It doesn't say anything except in the book of Judges, where there was a judge in Israel by the name of Deborah. The commander of the army was Barak. Yeah, that was his name. Barak, a feckless eunuch of a man, a guy with no cojones who said that he would not go into battle unless Deborah went into battle with him. And the women carried the day that day. So is there a place for women in the military? Definitely when there aren't any men around. That's for sure. When the army is led by Barak, yes, you better call on the women or else you're going to get smoked. Okay, last point I would like to make on this story before we move along. If, in fact, the Supreme Court decision goes in the direction where you now can get out of being drafted as a male by claiming you're now a female, I am expecting that it will mark the return of the syndicated program in syndication of MASH, and that Klinger will again rise to the level of being not only attractive, but he'll become a cult hero in the tranny movement, and he'll be on the posters for all those who want to get out of the U.S. draft by just dressing up as a woman and being stupid. And this is a sad thing about this. You go back, what was MASH, 30 years ago? I don't know. I didn't really watch the program. I mean, I saw it two or three times. People loved it. I just wasn't drawn to it. But the fact is, Klinger, the tranny in that thing, transvestite, it was a joke. It was funny because who could take transvestitism seriously? Who could take anything tranny seriously? You couldn't. And now, well, okay, let's move along. So we're up to about, now we're to the coronavirus. Okay. We're up to what, 11 deaths? I don't even know if I'm going to be able to travel this weekend. I've got a speaking engagement in Santa Maria, California at Family Life Church. Starts at, I think, 10 o'clock. If you're in the Central California, would like to come down, I'd love to have you, love to see you there. It's a great church, pastored by Greg Diamanti, who's invited me to speak on living biblically in the end times. Oh, gee, what a surprise, Rob, that you would actually talk about that. Well, that is, it's not going to be a radio program, but you'll recognize some of the content with a heavy, heavy dose, of course, of Scripture. But to the coronavirus, there's a biblical answer here. They're on several fronts, but I do want to just point out something that I don't want to get into it too deeply because so many others have talked about it, and that is that while we're up to, what, 11 deaths at the time of this taping of the program, we've had 18,000 deaths just in America from the flu, which has hit 32 million people. 32 million people with the flu, 18,000 deaths, and we're going bonkers. And places like Costco and Walmart are selling out of toilet paper. We got people who are charging $80 for a hand sanitizer. What? Just go wash your hands with soap. I got to tell you, I think it's sheer stupidity. But it's also sin. And I will tell you why it's sin for a Christian. Because I was talking with another person the other day, obviously. If it's a person, it's another person, not myself. I said to the person, I said, you know, it says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if you're wrapped up in doubt, worry, and fear, guess what? We talk about doubt being okay, worry being okay, and fear, well, not so okay. But do we ever call it sin? No. Doubt, worry, and fear are all sins because they're not rooted in faith. Now, there's a passage that says that unless the Lord watches the city, the watchman watches in vain. In other words, the Lord needs to keep a city. The Lord needs to keep a state, a country, a nation. And if the Lord doesn't do it, there's some things which will be done in the natural world, in the secular, like all the coronavirus masks and tests and all this blah, 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 it's going to be vain. If God has brought a pestilence onto the nation, and I will tell you, the disease and the pestilence in Scripture about 80% of the time, not 100%, but about 80% of the time that pestilence is raised and disease, it's judgment. It is judgment, which is why we have this passage. Yes, we do what we can. We exercise common sense. We don't purposefully just go around shaking every hand in the room at some party and then decide to go off into a closet and pick our nose. No, you don't do those stupid, you don't do that anyway. But you don't do those stupid things. But the fact of the matter is, ultimately, whether a nation is preserved or not, whether this watchman who will warn ultimately comes down to whether the Lord has determined that that nation, that city, that state, a country is to be preserved. Because God has a role in national, city, statewide politics and the civil affairs of every entity that's out there. From the U.S. to India, from Russia to Kazakhstan to South Africa. It does not matter. God is everywhere and he doesn't have a different role to play in the U.S. than other countries, with one exception. And this is nothing I pride myself on. To whom much is given, much is required. So if there's going to be judgment on a nation, it will come much harder on the U.S. like it did on Israel, because we know better, we knew better, we were founded with biblical roots. And it says judgment begins at the house of God. Judgment starts where God's name had been proclaimed, but it is no longer followed and purposely disavowed. When that happens, boy, oh boy, hang on. Flee Jerusalem for the hills of Judea, as it says. But here is what you need to do if you are in a corona-based environment and you are fighting the fears and the doubts and the worries that are creeping up. But you turn to Psalm 91. I'm going to read it, but I want you to read it. Here's what it says. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God. It's in Him that I will trust. I just got to interject. Not the CDC or the Center for Disease Control or Costco masks or anything else. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, for the destruction, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand from the coronavirus. No, I just inserted that, but same thing. But it shall not come near to you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made me the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh or near thy dwelling. Look, you go to this word, Psalm 91, verses 1 through 10, the secret place of the Most High. You get close to Him. If you stay close to Him, do you think a disease can reach you? Well, if you're close to Him and disease can reach you, it's reaching Jesus. And that ain't happened, folks. That ain't happened. Rob Walter, don't go away. We got so much more when we come back. Red Sky Radio.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358.
We are back. This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. I got so much to fit into the second half. Hang on. I hope you're still buckled in. CNN has come out and is stating that they are, not only do they believe that Donald Trump is going to dump Mike Pence from the ticket, there's this one analyst who's predicting the very date, July 16th. They're predicting the date that Donald Trump is going to drop Mike Pence from the ticket. Now, you know what? It's often easy to anticipate, I think. There's some things I am so wrong on. Don't ask me for stock picks. This is not my strong suit. There's some things I just get wrong. There's some things I get right. But I said back when Barack Obama was president, he was an easy person to predict what he's going to do next, because he would always gravitate to that which would make him look good. Both he and Trump are narcissists, but in very different ways. And the biggest distinction is Trump actually has accomplished something. He's done a ton of things, a gazillion things. He should get 10 Nobel Peace Prizes for all that he's done. Obama didn't do jack and got one. Well, anyway, it was easy to anticipate how Obama would respond, because he's a government hack. All he's known are government jobs, community organizer. Government hacks have no business being in government. Turn it over to somebody who's practiced medicine all their life, or a farmer, somebody who's been a plumber all their life. Let these people run for office. Pastors, run for political office. Consider this maybe a confirmation that you've been praying about. But you see, you can anticipate what a person might do because of their background. And when you're a government person raised in its womb to tomb mentality, government, 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 you think you're the elite, like Hillary, like Barack, like basically all the Democrats, it's pretty easy to predict what they're going to do. Now, I do not think Donald Trump is going to dump Mike Pence. But I will just say this. If he did, I know why he would do it. And this is why. Donald Trump is not a politician. Thank God. He is not a politician. He's a businessman. So if you want to predict what a person might do, think about who they are and what that person would do if they were continuing in government what they were doing before they came into government. Unlike most Democrats, they've never known anything else other than government, which makes it very easy to predict what they do. But you see, Donald Trump is a businessman. Now, I have counseled many, many business people, men and women, how to set up the structure of their business, what structure they should have. One of the things that I always talk about, and businessman, businesswoman needs to think about, is a succession plan. And that is not who do I want to run my business when I'm gone, but who would do the best job running my business when I'm gone? Who could hold this together the best? Now, it might be the person you emotionally want, like your oldest son, your favorite daughter, what have you, all those kinds of things. And that's why a lot of businesses fall apart, because the business owner has selected somebody for personal reasons to run it who does not have the skill set. That may be who the person wants, but it's not who the person needs. Donald Trump is a ridiculously smart businessman. So he might want Mike Pence, but Mike Pence might not be the next person. Might not be the person who get elected in 2024. So I don't think he's going to dump him. But if he does, the reason is going to be he would find somebody who would be a better successor to him, which in this case, I think, would be somebody like maybe Nikki Haley. I think he might pick a woman. If he does that, she's good. She would be tough in the trenches. She's a God-fearing woman. What, Asian descent? She's got, what, I don't know. She's kind of a mix. The Democrats shouldn't be able to get mad at her for exclusionary reasons. Yeah, these are the Democrats who no longer have any woman or everybody who's in the political race in the Democrats now are old white guys. That's the very thing that the Democrats have always accused the Republicans of. And go look in the mirror, you Democrats, because that's what you got facing you. Well, anyway, that would be the only reason, because he's a businessman. Now, another thing I have predicted, which has come true, and it's sad to say, I'm not proud of this, but it was an easy prediction. And that is when they started letting boys into girls' bathrooms. When Obama mandated it, that horrific, demonic president, the worst president we've ever had in the history of the U.S. I'm sorry, he is, with bad news. But he was just a tool. He was a tool of the devil. It was a devil that's bad. But when he was forcing that, I said, this is sad because here's the only way this could get solved. I hate to say this, folks. This is what I said back 4 or 5 years ago and many times since. The only way this will get turned around, sadly, is when poor, young, not poor financially, but innocent young girls get molested or raped by tranny boys in the girls' restroom. It's sad. If I were the governor, I would push legislation in the state that any state, any school that allows that to occur will be financially responsible without a bailout from the state, solely upon the taxpayers of that school district, if any girl is raped or molested in any material way by a boy who is allowed to use that restroom, tranny or no tranny. The school, this is the deal, tranny, no tranny, the school gets hit in the fanny financially. Pass that in a heartbeat, because that's all Democrats understand, is a financial spanking. Sadly, it's happened. A Wisconsin high school has now closed its gender-neutral bathroom after an 18-year-old student sexually assaulted a young girl because he had the right to be in that bathroom. Doggone you, Wisconsin school. I hope you go stinking bankrupt, because some innocent girl has had to pay the price for your evil, moronic stupidity. I'm not crazy about being right in this prediction. It was so easy to predict that they wouldn't get any measure of common sense because they don't have any. How do you find it when you don't have it? Oh, sorry. William Barr denounces the progressives' push toward tyranny. I'm not going to talk about William Barr, but I want to talk about this. If you've listened to this program for any measure of time, you know that I despise the use of the word progressive. I don't know why Rush uses it. I don't know why William Barr uses it. I don't know why Sean Hannity uses it. I don't know why Laura Ingraham uses it. I don't know why any conservative uses the word progressive, because they are not progressive. Proof? Progressive is being abortion. Well, yeah, we had the equivalent of abortion 2,500 years ago when people would offer up their children as living sacrifices to the god Molech. How can it be progressive to go back 2,500 years? How can queerdom, queer this, queer that, trannyism, queer adoptions, sodomy legalized, now the consummation process to proclaim your marriage? Sodom and Gomorrah got smoked because they were lined with queers, old to young, wealthy to poor, and their abominations were a stench unto God. How can it be progressive to go back thousands of years to recreate that which God destroyed? How can gun control be progressive when it was the feature? It was the defining characteristics of regimes like Idi Amin and Adolf Hitler and Joe Stalin, Pol Pot, Fidel Castro, go right on down the line. All those God haters, all of them, had gun control. And who got enslaved? The people. Was there gun violence? You bet. The government against innocent people. How can it be progressive to go back and recreate an environment that ushered in Amin, Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, and Castro. These people are regressives. Don't use the word progressive. They're not, if they're progressing, they're progressing towards hell. Okay, that story I got to save till next week. This story I got to save till next week because I'm getting short on time. I got to get going here. The primary. This is amazing. Okay, so butt gag and Klobuchar exit just in time to what? Be promised high-level positions in the Biden administration. Do you think they didn't get paid off? Look, they've screwed Bernie twice now out of the nomination. There's nothing that's beyond these Democrats. And will Biden promise high-level positions in his administration to people who bow out? Of course. Why do you think Elizabeth Warren won't even back Bernie now? Maybe she will by the time this program comes. She's trying to figure it out. She's in the same political camp. She's just trying to figure out whether she can get a price high enough for selling out her vote to Joe Biden. They got no morals. None. Oh, my gosh. Well, anyway, you know what? I got to cut some of this stuff out. I mean, this is... And what do they say about Joe Biden now? They just keep talking about how he's decent. He's decent. He's really decent. It's the only, they're trying to find something where maybe he's a little different than Donald Trump. And by calling, well, you're not decent if you support queer marriage. You're not decent if you support the execution of 62 million innocent unborn children. There's nothing decent about it. You're from the pit of hell. So who are they talking now about the possibility as Biden's running mate? You ready? They're floating Barack Obama. Now, this is amazing. First of all, Obama would not accept it. The reason Obama picked Joe Biden is because he needed a loser like Joe Biden to make sure that he, Barack Obama, always looked good. Look, you know, Barack Obama appointed nothing but lowlifes in his administration. And if you're surrounded by lowlifes, you look like the hero. You look like you're the king on the mountain. You look like you're the only wise God. Because you got all of these yin-yangs around you. You don't want people that will show you up, stand you up. He's not going to take that position. Now, you might try for Michelle Obama. And boy, now we get to haul out all the quotes that Michelle has made, right? And guess what? If Obama was picked as vice president, the Constitution prevents him from ever becoming president. That's the highest he can now rise to as vice president. I don't think he would do it. Okay, so bad is all of this. Well, you know what? I got to, no. I got to cut that story out. Sorry, you guys. I just got too much. So Schumer makes this comment the other day here about crossing the line. Well, he did cross the line. What did he say about the justices? Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. And giving them the threat, the ultimatum, if they change Roe v. Wade. So this is your Chuck E. Cheese Schumer. I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. Awful decision, end quote. I mean, this is a senator threatening the justices. Now, I wouldn't raise this if I didn't have something different to say than what they're saying on the mainstream TV. There's a couple of things here. Two things. Number one, John Roberts is waffling. He's sort of in the middle, closer. He is more likely to uphold Roe v. Wade than anybody thought he would be. But Roberts is ticked off and now castigated Schumer for speaking out of turn. So I'm glad Mr. Motormouth, Mr. Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, shot this off, because what he may have done is he may have actually helped push John Roberts back to the right side on this decision, because Roberts doesn't want to look like he's up for sale. He doesn't want to look like he can just get pushed around. He doesn't want to look like he is there to just be to carry water for the Chuck E. Cheese Schumers of the world. So I'm glad Schumer said what he did, because it may be that thing that moves Roberts back to the right on this particular issue. But number two, this is the other thing I do not hear in the media. The media will never touch this. If Schumer can say these audacious, horrific things, when you are in the minority, when you don't have the power, imagine what the Democrats will be like if they get the majority, if they have the power. There'll be no good deed that will go unpunished. And then we're in for, man, we are in for it at that point. That's going to be, well, that's a whole nother story. Because we're, as a country, we're walking away from God. Remember, you know, our culture here in this country, which is changing rapidly, is nothing more than a public manifestation of the religion. That's all that it is. Nothing more than, and that is a sad thing in our case. One last thing on the election, I got to keep moving on here. I'm cutting out so much stuff to fit it all in. So the Warren voters, the Elizabeth Warren voters, are now accusing their own party of sexism. Okay, these are Democrats claiming that other Democrats are sexist because they didn't vote for Elizabeth Warren. Now, I just want to ask this question. Is that the only possible explanation for the crash and burn conclusion to Warren's run for presidency? Are you serious? That's the only possible thing it could be, that other Democrats have now become sexist. The Democrats who apparently weren't sexist 6 or 7 months ago when Elizabeth Warren was atop the political Democratic wave for the nomination. They weren't sexist then, but they're sexist now. This is what you're working with when you have to work with Democrats. I'm sorry. The left has no mind, no morals, no guts. How do I say this? In order for what these Democrats, these Warren supporters are saying, to even be remotely close to being true, would be for their people to suggest that the reason that they voted for Biden instead of Elizabeth Warren is tantamount to saying that only women are pathological liars. You see, why the people turned up against Elizabeth Warren is she just lied. She lied through every orifice of her body. People finally realize, she's not Indian. She doesn't have a way to pay for Medicare. You know, all the things she's got. She just lied all over the place. So for these people to suggest that their reason that this is a sexist vote is tantamount to saying that only women are pathological liars. Since only women can be... only women can lie, are pathological liars, and this woman lied, you're sexist. Well, we know that's nonsense, but that's the nonsense level of their argument. You see, when you pull these things apart and you just apply this kind of reasoning, it's pretty easy to see that you're up against a pack of nimrods. Oh gosh, I got so much more to say, but I got to finish with something here that's really, really important. Last week, I mentioned the battle that went on in the Hindu riots in Delhi. And I owe an apology a bit because I had a bad news source. Some of what I was saying was correct, but some of the stuff, I got an education during the week. I thank several Indians who've responded to my call for where can I get some news that is unfiltered by the American media that wants to conflate every problem in India with Donald Trump, because that's what the media suggested, that Donald Trump's visit to India somehow was connected to the riots over a law that India rightfully passed that says that only minority faiths can come into India, which is keeping Muslims out. Because Muslims from Pakistan aren't from a minority faith. The Muslims run Pakistan. The Muslims run some of these other countries. They are not persecuted minorities. So the law in India makes sense. And I fully and totally and completely 100% support Modi and the Indian government in keeping Muslims out of their country. So I want to just share that correction. I want to thank the Hindus who responded to my request, frankly, to find a source that is not filtered through the media, because the media can't stand or won't want to be caught saying anything that can be considered or determined Islamophobic. Well, I want to say one other thing, and maybe this is one of the most important things. There are things that are much worse than the coronavirus. There are things that are much worse, actually, than all sorts of sins that do beset a nation, and for which God will deal with that nation accordingly. But there's one thing that Israel has done, is that it has helped elicit who's on God's side. And there are very few countries that have taken a position that is generally pro-Israel. The United States is one. And I want to congratulate the people of India. India is one of the most pro-Israel countries out there. Are they as pro-Israel as we are? I don't know. I don't think they're as outspoken about it. But they're certainly not bashing Israel like the Democrats do in this country and a gazillion other countries. There are only a few that actually stand up for Israel. There's islands out in the South Pacific which are little island nations. They may have 10,000 people, but they're represented at the UN, and they get a lot of aid from the U.S. And they're always going to vote with the U.S. because we give them money to live. So they always are supportive of Israel. But India doesn't have to have a U.S. connection. So I want to thank the Indian nation. There's a couple of others that just on occasion, could be Poland, could be the Czech Republic, will sometimes be supportive. They have Jews in those countries, but they understand that these are countries that have taken positions against the spread of Islam. And you take a position against the spread of Islam, you're actually sort of taking a position for Christianity, for actually in India, Hinduism, if that's being threatened by Islam, and Judaism in those countries where there's a significant number of Jews who are going to be targeted, are being targeted in Germany and France, but Germany and France don't have the guts to stand up for what's right. I will just say this in conclusion. The time is coming, and it is coming very, very fast, where you will have to stand up. There's an old country song here that those who don't, you don't stand up for the right things, you'll fall for anything. I haven't said it quite right. But if you don't stand, you'll fall. And if you don't stand for the right things, you'll fall for the wrong things, because you'll be pressured and you'll be intimidated and you will succumb to doubt, fear, and worry. And I just want to encourage everybody listening to this program just to simply understand that if you are wrapped up in the doubt what some homosexuals are going to say, or some fear of what homosexuals might say about you standing up for the right thing, if you're worrying about what the pro-aborts are going to say, if you're fretting and biting your nails because if you said the truth about Islam and what they want to do and what they stand for, that you're going to lose your job and all of those things. Look, there's a publisher this last week here, a writer, who had his Twitter account closed. Why? Because he actually quoted Joe Biden. He didn't quote him. It was a right. It's only going to be a quote if it's right, right? He said that Joe Biden was looking forward to Super Thursday. What was Super Tuesday? He lost the Twitter thing. And if you're running out there because of the coronavirus and you're buying up extra hand sanitizer and you're buying up lots of paper, toilet paper and things, that because you're wrapped up in doubt and fear and worry, you don't have much trust in God. You are living in fear, you're living in doubt, and you're living in worry. And the Word says, This is not Rob Walter speaking. This is what the word says, and I'm preaching to myself, that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So consider the doubt, consider the worry, consider the fear, all sin. Our God will supply every need of ours through his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's not a suggestion. It's a bet. It's not a bet. It's a fact. If you believe God, you believe his word. His word will uphold you if you uphold his word. It says in 1 Samuel, those who will honor God, God will honor. David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And I've never seen his seed begging for toilet paper. Well, that's my little interpretation of it. It's Rob Walter encouraging you to sit tall in the saddle. You ride for the brand. You know what the brand is? For those in other countries, I don't know if you got branded cattle. We have branded cattle. A brand is something that can't come off. If you're branded with a brand of Jesus Christ, as soon as they take your clothing off, they're going to see the brand. You might as well stand for it now. God bless you all. We will see you next week.